Alardo Harris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And this is Season 5, Episode 8, Hard Home. What was your initial reaction?
Fuck them, they're dead.
Fuck them, they're dead. That's what Jesse thinks the title of this episode should be. Jeffrey Doth scene? Death... Joffrey Death Scenes.
I'd have to say it's pretty good. 30. I'm going to give it 30.
30? I think you've blown the scales way off. It's weird.
Anytime where Cersei's begging, I'm pretty happy.
So I'm going to give it 3 Joffrey death scenes. All right. With our new format, I'm going to go in the fast cat. We'll come back and we'll have some talking points. We begin the episode in Meereen. We see Tyrion sort of spares Jorah's life, but kind of leaves him hopeless. We go to King's Landing, and we see Cersei's living arrangements are adequate. At Braavos, Arya is learning the game of faces. Back in King's Landing, Qyburn visits with Cersei. We go to Winterfell, and there is no escape. Ramsay always knows. We travel to Meereen, and we see Dany is discussing Tyrion's fate. Will he be executed, or will he be an advisor? We go back to King's Landing. Thirsty? Confess! We go to the wall, and we see Ollie speaking the same about Jon's choice. Finally, we end the episode and stay quite a while there in Hardhome. Jon lands at Hardhome. We see Valyrian steel is better than dragonglass, and quite a bit of necromancy. All right, so let's get all the stupid shit out of the way, because obviously Hardhome is where we really want to spend our time, or at least that's what I really want to talk about. I don't know how much time we'll talk about it, but let's go to Meereen. What... Is there anything you want to talk about at Meereen with Tyrion?
Yes. So, they start talking about their fathers.
That's right. Both their fathers are malicious bastards.
Yeah. And who was it? Tyrion mentioned something about someone he knows, basically someone trying to kill... No, so, and they start talking about their families. And Tyrion mentions that, you know, because he starts talking about whether Daenerys is worthy of his advisorship or whatever.
Right. He's still trying to determine if Daenerys is worthy of his services.
Yeah. And then he brings up the point that Daenerys is marrying for the good of the people, for, you know, the good of... And then he starts...
Right, she makes sacrifices for the good of the people.
He makes the parallel to Cersei, having done the same.
No, marrying. Marrying someone she didn't want.
But not for the good of the people.
Right.
But he mentions, oh... And look, let's see how that ended, because in the end, Cersei killed Robert to gain power.
Right.
I think that was complete foreshadowing. You have this dude who is suspected of being the leader of the Harpies, definitely the leader of the upper class here in Meereen, marrying Dany. What happens when the queen's gone?
Okay, yeah, I'm not for sure. Yeah, I think we still have things to see to play out in Meereen, right, before she leaves. Obviously, I think Dario's wishes are going to come to pass. All the masters are going to be fed to the dragons. I think that's just inevitable. Something's going to happen there.
Do you think that's Daenerys' future plans once she gets to Westeros, too? Houses? That whole wheel is going to be broken and fed to the dragons?
That's one talking point I want to get. So what's Dany's plan here? Because Tyrion is advising her about, you know, he talks, he's like, okay, so you had the common people here, right? But you didn't have any of the rich people. How'd that work out? It was rough. So when you get across, you got the houses, the Lannisters, who he is the best, the greatest killer of Lannisters of all time.
Which is a great line. And
he killed his mother and killed his father. The Lannisters will never, ever back her. Stannis Baratheon will never, ever back her. The Starks are gone.
The Tyrells aren't enough.
And the Tyrells are not enough. So, and she's like, she calls it a wagon wheel. They're all spokes in a wagon wheel. One's up, one's down. One's up, one's down. And then she says she's going to destroy it. So, yeah, you made a parallel. You made a comment during the episode about how this may parallel stuff that's going on with the High Sparrow when the many stop fearing the few, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, somebody made that comment to her. You know, that's generous. That, let's say the
right. let's be generous and think that the common people would be behind you.
That's not so generous.
I don't think it's generous either. I don't think many of the commoners know what she's doing other than that the fact that she has dragons and she's a Targaryen.
Just freed slaves, if words come across, you know?
Maybe. Rumors. It's all rumors, right?
Yeah.
I imagine the common people don't really give a fuck. They're more interested in where their next meal's coming from than some crazy bitch with dragons across the Narrow Sea.
That's true. But everyone likes to gossip.
Right. Yeah, but still. I mean, it's all rumors. I can't imagine the common people being... I mean, even Tyrion was doubtful, right?
Yeah.
And he had information. What do you think Jorah's plans?
He just wants to be near his queen, and he will literally do anything.
He basically put himself back in slavery, right?
Yeah.
To fight in the pits. So weird.
And I wonder if that isn't to... He thinks that maybe he can get at Daenerys' enemies somehow?
I don't know. I think that the Grayscale is obviously going to play a role in what happens.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't have...
So, that's one of our theories, is that Grayscale breaks out and leaves Meereen in ruins.
Yeah.
So
she's forced out that way.
Right. There's no talk about selling his cock after they beheaded him.
Nope.
No cock merchants this episode.
She wouldn't stoop so low. She doesn't need the money. She doesn't need the money.
So the outcome of Meereen is that Tyrion was actually given the role of advisor, right?
Yep.
And he had to advise... what to do about Jorah. Killing people that's devoted to you doesn't inspire devotion. But he can't obviously be beside you because he betrayed you, right? So
and politics and killing are not the same thing.
Yeah, politics and killing are not always the same thing, but sometimes, I guess, is what's in front
there. A lot of great quotes.
Yeah, that. I really want to say that Tyrion makes Dany shine. It makes her... Having him, I guess Peter Dinklage, just makes everybody look awesome on screen. So that character is enough to bring out the other characters' best qualities, I guess you could say. Anything else you want to talk about, Meereen?
Yes. Do you think Daenerys is already linked somehow to the Sparrows or the Brotherhood without banners?
No.
No. You don't think she's already got some ties?
No.
I think that's going to be one of the things that I'm calling that. I'm saying that she already has some kind of...
Where would she have gotten ties? She was sold to the Dothraki.
I don't know.
I mean, technically,
maybe
she's
some
a young
agents,
girl.
You know...
I don't think so. There would have foreshadowed something there. Foreshadows that you've seen that would make you suspect that?
Yeah, a little bit. With the High Sparrow's, you know, speech about, you know...
Yeah, but not what I'm talking about, similar goals. Because then anybody who's wanting the throne would have connections.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it would be an awesome reveal if it was revealed at the same time that they were always in league together.
I don't see that happening. I think the Sparrows and the Brotherhood Without Banners are very local to King's Landing. I don't think they have operatives across the Narrow Sea. So speaking of King's Landing, we go there and we... This is all about Cersei, pretty much, right? Cersei's not confessing. She's not getting any water unless it's the stuff that she licks up off the floor, which has to be putrid. But you said, isn't there water dripping in from the grates? And I said, yeah, it's probably urine or something from the streets, right? So, and
people
then
turn chamber pots into the alleys and shit like that.
And then whoever's occupied these dungeons have shit, piss, and died on these floors. So I can't imagine lapping up the water from the floor is a good deal. So Master Qyburn visits, right? And he says there is a way out.
Yep, confess.
Confess. We still don't know what happens when you confess. Like, I can't see you getting just, oh, I confess, and then getting off.
Yeah.
But he does mention that the work is still in progress, right?
Yep.
So I predict the Mountain's going to be the one to come in there and free her.
I absolutely agree, and I think that lady is probably going to die.
Oh, yeah, and Cersei's going to be the one to kill her.
Yep.
It's not going to be the Mountain.
No. I did want to call the Kevin thing, like Kevin Lannister being in there and becoming the Hand of the King.
Yeah, so Grand Meister Pycelle called him in there to become the Hand, but he's not going to come visit her because he doesn't give a shit.
Don't blame him.
We also learned that the king has basically sequestered himself and won't see anything, won't eat anything. So he's, what the hell? Weak sauce.
Do you think that, because that's all rumor, right? That all we know is Qyburn's information. That's from Qyburn.
I don't think Qyburn has any reason to lie to Cersei.
I'm more talking about, do you think that maybe someone seized Tommen and stuck him in?
No.
Keep him there?
No,
Willful childishness on his part?
Yes. They've already shown how weak he was. He didn't make any move when Margaery was taken right in front of him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those people outside when he first marched up there and they started yelling shit at him, Abomination and stuff.
Rattled him?
Yeah. That and the fact that both women in his life, Margaery and Cersei, basically undermining his ability to be a man. the whole time, right?
Yep.
I mean, that was both their goals, make him a puppet.
If both of them had taught him some fucking backbone, neither one of them would be in this situation right now.
Anything else we want to talk about in King's Landing?
Nope, I think that's good. I like that quote, belief is the death of reason.
Ah, yes. Yeah, us atheists like that. I imagine it sits well with many people. So we go to Braavos, and we see Arya has been learning to create personas, right?
Yep.
Which is obviously one of the things that faceless men do, is create personas. Of course, she's not wearing somebody's face yet, but she is taking on some merchant girl.
She is becoming someone else.
Right, selling oysters and clams or something. And she was told to go down the street and, you know, find out what she sees. And she's like, what will I see? And Jockin's like, I can't tell you what you're going to see. But, you know, obviously it was some kind of test, right?
Yeah.
Tell me what you see. And so her mission, should she choose to accept it and accomplish it, will be to poison
the thin man,
right?
Is that her first mission, though? Do you think that's her first mission?
I think that's her first mission, to poison the thin man. Because this guy's they call him a gambler. Basically, he sells insurance, right? For ship's captains or people on ships. And if they don't make it, then he has to pay the family. But if they do make it, then they've just paid for insurance, I guess. I think that's what's going on here. But he cheats people out of it, right? Because the wife and children of some dead person is not going to have very much... It's not going to be very effective removing coin from this guy, right?
It's hard to... Yeah, hard for him to have any... A, legal ground, probably. B...
I doubt there's anything called legal ground.
Yeah.
maybe in Braavos. Maybe there's a little bit something like that. But I imagine he's going to... You know, it's all bribery and shit like that. And influence as far as what
he's done.
You
think that would just be bad for business for him? Because once he goes back on his word, all I have to do is become known that he doesn't pay. That kind of ruins his interest business.
You'd think, but I guess people are desperate. And ships are always in and out, who knows? So, what do you think of the conversation between Jockin Hagar and the other girl that works there at the House in Black and White? Talking about she's not ready. And then he says, well, the many-faced god, it's all the same to him. You think that was, she's not ready, she could botch it and die, and he's basically like, the many-faced god don't care?
Yeah, I think that's that. Maybe it's, she lives to, like, learn and whatnot, she dies, whatever.
Okay.
Because isn't it all serve or whatever to the faceless men or whatever? Everyone dies.
Well, I mean, everyone dies, right?
So very fatalistic.
Right. All right, so let's go to the wall. What'd you think about Ollie's conversation with Sam?
I thought it was kind of weird, and I definitely think Ollie's got something planned. I thought it was maybe striking out at Sam directly.
I thought that he's going to kill John, or he wants to kill John. Basically, he asked very pointed questions, and Sam said something like, sometimes you have to make a hard decision for, you know, the greater good, right? And maybe Ollie took that to heart and thinks that maybe striking out at John would be for the better good. I don't think it has to do with Sam. Sam didn't decide to take on the wildlings. I mean, obviously he's got the wildling girl friend, but I think he's less concerned about women and more concerned about, you know, people like the Thins.
I think Sam's in trouble.
Oh, he's definitely in trouble. Like Alistair said, he's run out of friends.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how quickly the wildlings and John get back to the wall.
Before Sam's either forced out or killed?
Yeah, or maybe we'll see some more ghost action.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm still convinced he's a ward.
We'll see.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe some new power.
So the exciting part of this episode, we got a lot of action at Hardhome, right? And it was kind of like everything they did there was kind of leading up like, okay, this place is going to get attacked.
Yep.
When the female clan leader or whatever
those
was sending
words,
sent off her children, is like, I'll be right behind you or whatever. Famous last words. Okay, she's not making it.
Whether it's we threw out civil war or White Walker attack.
Yeah. So we didn't know if there's going to be infighting or what. There was infighting after they were dead. So we got to see some spectacular zombie action here, right? So these are not your average zombies. They're nimble. They wield weapons. They have tactics. And you also, obviously, they're led by the White Walkers or whatever. We saw the king again, right? The king, or I guess the king of the White Walkers.
Yep.
We see that Valyrian steel is as good as Dragonglass. against White Walkers.
Yep.
Except, you know, it's steel, so it won't break. It's not fragile. The White Walker seemed surprised when he went to go...
Yeah, he seemed like he was a pretty good fighter.
Yeah, he went to parry the sword, right? And it didn't break like all the other swords. And it was like, oh shit, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, he definitely surprised the hell out of him. Led to his death. And the rest of them just looked on. So they gathered some information. They were watching from that hilltop.
So how many... it doesn't seem like very many wildlings survived this.
It really doesn't. How many got in the...
Right, so how many decided to join, first of all? So John came there with Tormund. There was some... argument with the Lord of Bones about gathering the elders, right? The clan leaders. That didn't go over well with Tormund. Tormund basically beat him to death. Or at least that's what it looked like. And then he told, gather the elders. And then, so it seemed like less than half of the elders decided to go with Tormund and Jon. And then the rest left with the Thin clan leader, right?
Yep. There were, I just know there looked like there was a lot of people outside that gate when they shut it.
And then it didn't seem like all the people who decided to go with John actually made it.
Nope.
So like maybe a quarter of the wildling force has made it.
That's very unfortunate.
And then, you know, there's a bunch that were swimming. I don't know how many doesn't even make it. I mean, can they even fit a fucking giant on one of those ships? Will a ship take a giant?
We're going to find out. We are going to find out.
Does he just sit on it like a boogie board or something?
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work.
He definitely can't go below deck.
I wonder what the
extra displacement is. Maybe he just holds onto it and rides it.
So let's talk about, were they after the giant or were they after the dragonglass? Did they know about the dragonglass?
That's what I was kind of wondering. But at the same time, they clearly, I mean... what did that White Walker in the building go in there for? It definitely didn't look like he chased that giant out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they knew about the dragonglass.
Yeah.
I bet they were after an undead giant.
Which is...
because it would lay waste.
Just crazy to imagine. You gotta know they probably have some already.
Well, they didn't send him over the cliff, and they didn't send him up against the palisade wall.
Yeah, because that palisade wall would have absolutely crumbled.
Crumbled, yeah. That was very spooky how they had all those people outside the gates. I mean, a lot of people outside the gates. And they're all... banging on it, because the Thin obviously locked it, and then all of a sudden there was nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. Until the zombies came.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be... I really don't know what's going to happen, because every one of those people that die is another, you know...
member of the army, right. The army just grows. It doesn't shrink. It was interesting what that female clan leader said. It was like, hey, you need to get on the boat, because they're not going to let these people in. They're not going to let my kids in. Through the gate, unless you're there. And he's like, well, I've given orders. And she's like, and you think they're going to follow through without you there? Hell, I don't know if they're going to follow through with him there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I bet there's another, you know, there's going to be something, some other kind of confrontation when he gets back.
And I think John is going to, he's not going to take any shit when he gets back.
Oh, no. I bet, yeah, the first guy to give him lip will get a run through or something. At least a punch in the face.
Yeah, or executed, like, what's his face?
Yeah, there's a no shit. Dread army on its way.
Yeah. Now everyone's seen the stakes. The stakes have been seen. So the wildlings know now what they're fighting for.
Yes.
There were a lot of Night's Watch there, too.
Yes.
So they know what they're fighting for.
Yeah, there was about 10, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed like did they all make it?
Quite a few of them, because they were the ones rowing the boats.
Yeah, the ones inside made it, at least, because he had his friend inside those with the giant, right? It looked like he made it out.
Yeah, but he took quite a few with him when he said to the Night's Watch with me or
whatever. Oh, yeah, there were probably some lost, half of them. But still, that's enough to be like, dude, we saw what was happening. And Valyrian still rocks, so... but he did lose the dragonglass.
Not all of it.
Well, I think he took all that they had.
That's not good.
I mean, Stannis said he has more at Dragonstone or whatever, but I don't think they have any dragonglass now.
That's unfortunate.
They just basically have Jon's sword. That's it. And then we saw at the end, after they just silenced all the people that were there by killing them, right? The Whites and the White Walkers. And as Jon was running away, the guy... the Night Lord or whatever.
He just kind of...
just raised his arms, and then all those dead people rose up.
And he just kind of looked at John like, your move.
Yeah. Necromancy!
Yeah, there's definitely a come at me, bro, sort of vibe there.
So what do you think is going to happen? We got 2 episodes left in the season.
Do you think the White Walkers will make it back to the wall before the Wildlings do?
No, I do not.
Neither do I.
But that would be interesting.
And we didn't see any of the Dorne this episode, so I think we're going to see a lot of Dorne next episode. Because if unless they like speed up Jon's timeline and he gets back like next episode, I don't imagine them showing too much of him. traveling.
So the next episode is called Dance of Dragons. Oh, hey, we heard the book title drop this episode too, A Feast of Crows by Ramsay. That's something we didn't talk about. I'm sorry, we skipped right over Winterfell, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
So there's no escape, right? Because she basically dressed down Theon. Sansa dressed down Theon. I was like, why'd you do that, Theon? There's no Theon, it's just Reek, and it's for your own good.
And didn't I say something about him never redeeming himself?
You did, but I think he will.
I still don't think so.
I don't know if redemption is the word, but I think he's going to screw Ramsay.
I don't think so. I think
he's
Ramsay's man. In fact, I think he's going to die defending Ramsay.
Maybe. But
if he dies,
it just seems like that is a waste of a character to do.
It just shows, it kind of highlights Ramsay's, you know, Ramsay. Ramsayness.
No, I think Theon's going to do something. I don't have high hopes for him, but it just doesn't make sense not to use him in that fashion.
To me, his conversation with Sansa just reinforced that.
No, I think it's reinforcing that belief in you, but I think that as a writer, you're going to turn him around and use him in a different way. I think he'll die, but I think he'll die fucking Ramsay over it. Ramsay has some kind of plan, right? So he was like, his father is basically saying, you know, Winterfell, we've reinforced everything, the walls are rebuilt, we're ready for a siege for like 6 months. Stannis' men isn't. And Ramsay's like, we need to show the people of the North that we're from the North and take the battle to them. So he wants 20 good men. What do you think that's for?
I think he wants to try and maybe attack Stannis himself. Maybe slip into Stannis's...
So basically cut off the head of the snake.
Yeah.
Or the head of the steer or stag, I mean.
Yep. Also, or just, I mean, like, simple things, like maybe cutting the horse blinds, letting the horses run free or whatever. And horses in the snow, or maybe firing their provisions, and that's enough. That is a mercenary army.
Yeah, I don't know, but Ramsay's fucking twisted. I can't imagine there's something vanilla, like, sapping the lines. You got a point.
And I think maybe they'll use Reek somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, and I bet this is where Reek makes his mark.
I still don't think so.
I think he will.
I think you're going to be surprised just because that's what they're reinforcing the belief.
And no.
Then you expect. Then the expectation there is that.
I bet I'm going to be right.
That Reek will somehow redeem himself.
I'm going to be right.
I don't think that's
right.
The case.
I'm going to be right.
Because we've just seen Theon make all the worst decisions ever.
Yeah. His next decision will be bad too, but it'll be the undoing of Ramsay. It'll be bad for
I
him.
Really hope you're right.
So, the Dance of Dragons. I bet Brienne sees Ramsay and the 20 men leave.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I like that idea too. I like her cutting him the fuck down. Well, not that I think that will happen, but it'd be awesome if she did.
And then working with Stannis, because I mean, if she tells Stannis that Sansa isn't there, maybe we rescue a 10-4.
Yeah, but she served Renly, so I don't know how welcoming Stannis.
Maybe not welcoming, but it'll take information.
That's true.
Especially if
the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yeah. All right, so the next episode, Dance of Dragons. I don't know what the fuck that means.
I think Marine is...
Cool. Obviously, it's a book title, right? There's a whole book called The Dance of Dragons. Is that the most recent book?
Yes.
I think so. Our studio audience says yes. So what is The Dance of Dragons?
I think it's what's going to get...
Sounds like lots of mayhem.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I like the
Because I can't think of dragons being very... creative and not destructive.
I see fire and death in somebody's future. Yeah. Considering where the dragons are currently housed.
Well, except for Drogon.
That's true.
He's
you think we'll see Drogon in the north?
I don't know. I think he's
flew
more
over
in...
Valyria.
Yeah, but he came back to Meereen too. So, I mean, he was there and she tried to touch him, remember?
Yeah.
So he left and came back.
But the most recent sighting of him
is
over Valyria.
Do they migrate? I don't see them migrating. I mean, there's plenty of shit for him to eat. In the area he's at.
Unless he's called.
You're still holding out for
him. Of course!
We haven't seen him this season at all. Do you think we'll see him at all?
Maybe his last two episodes.
Maybe this last episode.
This is when the dragon warging comes in. Because if... yeah. That would be fantastic.
No, it's too early for dragon warging.
You're probably right.
It may not even happen next season. If it does, it'll be at the end.
Probably right.
It'd be awesome. But I think we still have to see plenty of destruction by the Whites, the White Walker army. We will see plenty of destruction by them and before something cool like Dragon Warding comes.
How far south do you think the White Walker make it?
King's Landing.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think they go all the way to King's Landing.
Me too.
And winter comes with them, obviously. You see that cool effect with all the blizzard coming in, swooping in?
Yep.
Over the cliffs when they got there?
Call.
I bet they get to King's Landing right when Dany and the dragons get there. That sucks, because we're not going to see Dany over there until the end game.
That's unfortunate.
That's what's going to happen.
The last episode is called Mother's Mercy, maybe.
That is in direct reference to Mother's Mercy is the confession.
Lisa. Oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
it's
yeah,
the confession.
Right. Cersei's trial.
In the High Septum or whatever.
That's, yeah. Oh, wow. So that's the fate of Marjorie
and Cersei and Loras.
That would be sweet.
So you might actually get to see Cersei die this season.
Oh, yes. Let it happen.
But it'll be after she gets broken out by the mountain.
You think so? What
damn,
any good is the
I
mountain
think that's
going
to happen. Because he's a Frankenstein monster now.
Yeah, he is. I wonder. Yeah, because otherwise, what other use for them would there be? Because he was standing, like, he was the Lannister's creature.
Because I bet he is basically undead, right? So he can't, he probably can't. Normal wounds that would, first of all, before this, normal wounds that would slay most men didn't affect him because he was so goddamn big. And now, Qyburn's done whatever he's done to him, the vivisectionist, right? I bet he's more machine than anything.
If they don't do something with him now, I definitely don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, they've shown him this season, right? When he,
yeah.
When Qyburn's office where he was like, roar!
So they got to, hopefully they use him this season.
I'm sure they will. I mean, there's no reason to show him this season unless they do use him, right?
Yeah, you would think.
I would think, you know. But they didn't hire me as a writer.
No.
So, and I didn't write the originals. I'm no George R. R. Martin, but hell, that's what I would do. There seems to be no purpose otherwise. Anything else we want to talk about for this episode? It's been pretty short, right? Because half of it was a battle, and I like it. It was awesome. It was awesome just being in one place and watching shit happen.
Yep, fuck them, they're dead.
Yeah, fuck them. My ancestors spit on me too. Fuck them, they're dead. Now fuck all these guys, they're dead too.
I definitely like that quote. Like, basically, the whole sums up to, hey, that's the past, and you need to be looking towards the future.
Right. John said it best, where he's like, you know, I'm not going to forget my dead. I'm not asking you to forget your dead. And I'm sure as hell not going to forget mine, right? But I'm asking you to think of your children, because they're not going to have any children unless we change what's going on now. It got through to some of them. Hopefully.
Yeah, and the rest.
Hopefully,
of the
they got
did.
Plenty of assholes out of there, and you know, plenty of wildlings out of
and
there.
And do you think the people who were the first on the boats were definitely the people who supported this?
Right. So, and now they're going to be even more so. Like, yeah. Holy shit, you're our savior, yep. Basically. I doubt that they'll actually be that way, but at least you know. I mean, Tormund came to his defense, right? So Jon didn't pussyfoot around. He's like, "Man, where's Mance? Mance is dead. What happened to him? I put an arrow in him."
And didn't even qualify that. He just let
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he just let it drop because that's what happened. He killed him. And then Tormund, you know, came in and was like, "Look, that Stannis fuck was going to burn him at the stake." And then what Jon did was a mercy. So he defied that asshole. That oh, what did he say? He defied that cunt or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait. Next episode, episode 9 of every season. It's usually my favorite episode of the season. But this one was really good.
I think 10 will be almost... Because it feels like, especially with a name like Mother's Mercy, at the very least we're going to see some threads wrapped up for...
Well, that's what episode 10 always does. It wraps up threads and then sets the stage for next season. Like, what players are out, what players are in, and where are they at?
When did Tywin die last season? That episode 9 or 10?
I can't remember. I bet it was episode 9. Yeah. Telling you, historically, as in all four of the previous seasons, I am pretty sure I've always ranked episode 9 as the best.
I
died in 10, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I definitely agree that 9 is going to be awesome and badass and probably the best of the season, but I think episode 10 will definitely not go out quietly like the last couple of seasons.
Like pooping on a... You won't get a bolt through the heart while you're pooping?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yep.
I mean, as spectacular as that was because of the person's heart, the bolt went through, but, you know, no one wants to go out on the shitter.
No. No one wants to go out burned to death.
the worst way to die.
Do you think Mance would have taken that over being burned to death?
Going out on the shitter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Me too.
It's definitely preferable to
being
burned at a stake. Being burned and drowning. Those are two, like, I don't want to do. It's got to be instantaneous.
Yep.
And hopefully, like, in bed or something when I'm old, pretty old, like 150. I plan on being immortal. I want to live forever, but we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, so that's been this week's coverage of HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Morghulis. Fuck them, they're dead.